Hello, this is Filter Optional, and I am Chico West.
And I am Shannon West.
You like the I am right there?
I don't know. You just try to accentuate different words at different times.
Yeah, it's a changing deal.
If you want to create a mantra for yourself, like, here's Johnny, you have to do it the same every week, but you try to switch it up, and I, you know.
It's like that.
You are Chico.
It's like that podcast I listen to a lot, Story Brand, you know, with Donald Miller.
Yes.
I really like that. And he has that same mantra. I haven't figured out ours yet, even though we're like on episode 80.
Still trying new stuff.
Yeah, yes. He's still trying new stuff.
I am.
Oh, you're excited though today, I bet.
I was looking for a new word. I was looking for a new word.
It's not good to look for a new word on the fly. You're very encouraged today by the conversation we're going to have.
I am very encouraged, but I filter optional. I am the no filter.
Yes, and I am the filter.
Yes, so you give me a filter quite a bit. You know, what I do like and I am excited. You know, Casa Colino, we do some things, but man, we got some people in studio today, and we are good social distancing away. But we have some guys in studio today that really do some of the things we, on a much bigger scale every day, what we do every now and then at Casa. We do it on a once a week basis. But I love this. I really got involved in this.
Sorry, my mic was off.
That was my fault.
That's okay. Thank you, Kevin. But you used to do this with, it was a little easier to do with sober living as group activities. But it's something that you've believed in for a long time. And you can see, if you're watching, you can see up in our little window here.
On
the green screen. It says group dynamics because that is
the men that we have in studio today from group dynamics.
Yes, and what I'm going to let you do a little introduction and then let them do a little introduction for themselves. But I just want to talk a little bit about the experiential therapy that you got into years ago because of the connection that it makes for people and companies and school groups and youth groups and any group, groups in recovery, whatever. And now more than ever, a connection is needing to be made in the world. And so I'm super excited. he says he needs a new word, but I am actually very encouraged to have this discussion today about connection in the world today.
Let's introduce. You know, we got Mac with us and Jeremy. You know what, Mac? Why don't you start and tell us a little bit about yourself, about group dynamics? About who you are?
Okay, I guess I need to start out with I'm Mac.
Yeah, I am.
Here's Johnny.
Yes.
Yeah. Gosh. So my background. Yeah, I would take you back to 1980, and group dynamics. I started with my partner in 1987, but really the origins. I used to be a mountaineer and survival instructor in Wyoming, and that was during my college years, and that advanced me into expeditionary work. And so, Skinner Brothers and myself, we put a team together and we climbed Mount McKinley in 1978. And I guess the whole story behind that was that was all very experiential. You're dealing with small groups. You're dealing with high connection, high purpose. And that experience really taught me the power of really learning as a group and connecting. After that experience,
It wasn't just learning. It was also kind of trusting. If you're climbing Mount McKinley, you have a team. You need to rely on others. You need to, it also probably addresses your faith and a lot of other things.
Well, it does. I think all those pieces come together. And when you have a small group of 8 to 10 people, you're relying on each other. The trust is high. And then the faith is also very high. So every day is an experience. And every day is a reflection, and I think it's the reflection point where you learn and grow as a group. But you're sharing, you're talking, you're eyeball to eyeball, and that experience is real.
Well, and also I think what Shannon was saying before we introduced you're connecting.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's.
But this was all in your personal life. This was a personal goal, correct? This was not your work at the time.
Right. It was a hobby that was getting right. professionalized. Because during the summers, I would work with the kids. And again, the experience with kids being an unusual camp, it kind of was prior to the ropes course experience. And what you saw with Outward Bound, we were kind of part and parcel with that, where we would take kids into the wilderness. But the whole premise was connection, getting them together, getting them into an experience, and then use what a methodology that I like to call Ask, Don't Tell. So you get them together, you do form your huddles, and you just ask questions about it at the end of the day. And you let kids begin to reflect, and they themselves, by expressing themselves, start to trust each other. And that trust goes into probably a little bit more vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You know, when I say vulnerability, Brené Brown comes to mind mm-hmm. and her whole piece of that. But you see this just because you're connecting, you're sharing, and you have someone who's promoting the conversation, if you will, facilitating the environment with care, all of a sudden the whole dynamics of the group change. So I mentioned that because in 1981, I went off to New York City. Get this, Wyoming to New York City.
That's a big change.
That's a big change. Huge change.
So what were you doing in New York City?
Well, I went back home and it was job time. Dad and I mm-hmm. sat down and he says, okay, Stephen, time to really do something with your life. Time to get a job. So, but the way I got a job was High Connect. I went to New York City where my college buddies were and slept on the floor, went to interviews, got connected and went to work. And so I was in the work in the insurance industry. And in New York City, again, if you go in there with an open mind of adventure and exploration, it's a wonderful place. And again, exploration and connection, because you have so much diversity. Are you open to that and open to meeting? And so it was, for what it was a wonderful experience. But what I noticed in the workplace was a very different type of environment. The structure, maybe it's a little bit more command and control. People would come in and do their jobs and then go home. There was never
go that. Home or maybe go out and drink or do other things.
Well,
like that.
Maybe they would, but I think they would with only those people that were very close. There was not, you know, for the 40, 50 people we had in the office, there was never that sense of camaraderie.
So is it almost like a disconnect?
It was a disconnect.
Well, and no room for vulnerability at all.
Oh, no.
You had to be, you know, on your work point all the time. There's no room for, I'm sad today, I'm struggling, I'm angry, I'm happy. You can't share any of it.
No, and you had to have your guard up. You always had to be brave. In other words, you know, Brené, you hear what she talks about. You can't open that up as, you know, us guys or even women in the workplace. You have to just suck it up, show up, shut up, and do up. And so it's a fascinating environment. But because of my previous experience, the thing that really struck me after the first week was I was like, man, what an opportunity to just get people out of the office to connect. And everyone, let's not pick these favorites, these cliques, because that's, you know, the power of the clique would take over. And then you have the politics and things of that nature. So I really kind of tucked that in the back of my head and then progressed. You know, I went from New York City to Minneapolis, got married in Minneapolis, and then went to San Francisco. And so I just kept going through my insurance career, you know, taking promotions and moving. But the office environment was pretty much the same, unless the actual manager of the office was more bent towards social connection.
So if the office manager wasn't bent that way, sounds like it was a lonely place.
Well, it was lonely. I think it was lonely. And so I think that all just led to me thinking one day saying, I really want to do something about this. You know, how you all of a sudden are interested. And so in my age of 40, whatever, I decided, I was talking to my wife. My wife says, you know, you really need to pursue what you're talking about because it's so important to you. So it was interesting. I hired a management consultant And they interviewed me and they said, well, let's do a journey. Let's go out and you talk to, write down the interests, areas of what you're interested in. You know, you do the DISC, the Myers-Briggs and all that.
Yeah.
And so I went out and I decided to talk to people in the athletic industry. And I talked to who is now my partner, and he had a gymnasium for gymnastics for my children. My two daughters, you know, they were, probably 6 and 8. And I noticed they were in this experience where they're doing athletics, but it was learning and it was connecting. And so I went and talked to them about it, and we were sharing really the ultimate goal of what we were interested in. And so that just ended up forming into Group Dynamics, really kind of an offshoot from the world.
That was industry. That was 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago in 1998. We formally leased a building. We outfitted it in a weight room.
Okay, so.
And so this would be a great great message for not only managers of companies, not just out gyms or outdoor, like we can talk about what Group Dynamics does. They do these group ropes courses.
Yeah, and we'll get Jeremy to explain that a little more.
We will do that, but I just want to point out that if you're listening today and you're thinking, I'm not an outdoors or gym person or whatever this isn't, but if you manage a company, even a Wall Street, company, it sounds like what you're saying, and I can imagine in the corporate world, if the manager is not into connection, then you're supposed to be building each other up in order to build the company up, in order to make more money or whatever the goal is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it sounds like that unintentionally people are tearing the people down.
Right.
They're beating them down to a point where they desire so much connectedness, and they could remedy that by maybe their corporations participating in group dynamics, connective
activities. Well, and that sounds like what you were doing, Mac,
I would think this would be an aha moment for managers.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, wait, my employees might be being torn down day to day by having to keep up and not having a connective,
Yeah. Anyway. Think about your own lives. You work with, as a counselor, work with groups. It's just so fundamental. The ability to go out and share and feel comfortable with the people you work with.
Right.
You do it with your friends and families every day. But why in the workplace is there that disconnect?
Right.
And you see evidence where people just have that innate organic relationship of connecting and enjoying each other. How productivity goes up, self-worth. People understand who you are, your skills and talents. Your career probably advances more along the lines of your skills and talents. But it's just kind of an organic thing where relationships matter.
Right.
And that's really what we do, is we create that process where people can really enjoy each other. And so when they leave after our sessions, they really have this bona fide feeling of exuberance that, wow, you now know me and I know you. And that just begins that process of more productivity in the workplace.
Because it's not really a one-hit wonder. It's not like you have that experience and then you leave. You can build on it.
Yeah.
So you have that experience, and then when you go into work on Monday or whatever, you can be like, Jeremy, like, you kind of know that he has a fear of heights or something.
Right.
And you're kind of like, hey, I'll support you in that, whatever. But it builds on the connection.
And we do it, and I just encourage anyone that is in charge of a group, whether it's Group Dynamics or you go out and do something, but it's inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
It's everyone's invited, and you kind of break up the cliques, and you have everyone come to the event. And then you yourself, you have to take a look at what is your role going to be. Are you going to be promoting isolation even at the event? I mean, I can't tell you how many events you go to in the corporate world, and really you're sitting there thinking, why am I here?
Yes.
Sure. So you really have to, in a sense, engineer the event.
Exactly. And so let's, Jeremy, explain a little bit more, because I love your story, Mac, and I want to get back to your story.
Yeah.
But what it group dynamics? What are we talking about?
And in today's world,
and who are you?
People are desiring connection, but they're fearing this COVID stuff. So talk a little bit about all that.
Sure. So just a little bit about my background. Yeah. Very similar to Mac. I've spent the last 20 years in kind of outdoor adventure education. Mm-hmm. So leading backpacking trips, using those outdoor challenging experiences to bring groups, to bond groups, to learn from those experiences. I've done that in camp settings in Colorado. I did a master's degree in experiential education in Minnesota. And then for about the last 8 years, 8 or 9 years, I've been in higher education doing that in that realm. And then have been with Group Dynamics. Actually, it was 2 weeks into my stint with Group Dynamics. COVID hit and we shut things down and we started working remotely. And now we're kind of on that, back in that transition.
Group Dynamics became masked, masked single dynamics. Right. I mean,
so think about just the name Group Dynamics. So every group has this process that they're going to go through. Then kind of the thing about the model of the storming, norming, forming. And so people call us and they say, hey, we've got a group of 30 people, whether it's school age students, you know, in middle school, high school, we've got a sports team, or we've got a corporate group, or we've just got some friends that want to get together and have an experience. So everything Group Dynamics' goal and intention is to connect people in fun ways. So if you say team building, say, hey, we're going to go to some team building, you see the eyes start to roll. There's so many spoofs and bad office sitcoms that just paint team building in a bad light, right? Whether we're going to walk on coals, or we're going to do something really, or we're going to be really awkward and we're going to sit around and share our feelings.
Right.
Which is a great thing if you get there and you get there in a sincere way.
Organically.
Organically, yeah. Right.
Yes.
Right. Not someone standing around saying, hey, Chico, tell us your deepest, darkest secrets, and you're not ready to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So really Group Dynamics, everybody that works and comes, everybody that comes to Group Dynamics, we really try to dive into what are you really trying to get out of this experience? And for some folks, it's just, we want to come and we just want to have a good time. We just want to play. We've got tons of things that they can come and just play. For instance, like a school group, it's the end of the year, a sixth grade group. They come and they're like, hey, do we just want to come and let the kids play and have a good time? But it's not just wild and chaos. We have facilitated activities. We'll have staff on the floor that are leading through games and activities, but they don't even know that they're actually learning through those things. They're just playing games. Mm-hmm. But then there's that reflection piece that the facilitators, hey, we played this fun game. Let's spin it. Let's think about it from this perspective and maybe ask just a simple question to maybe invoke some thoughts. So that's kind of the play events. Then there's a connect event where a group comes in. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, we've got a newly formed team. We've got people that have moved in, and we're just needing to gel. We're needing to know that I'm afraid of heights, and when we come into the office, there's a little bit deeper connection. So there's I can't remember the gentleman's name, a podcast. I think it's John Gordon, a quote a number of years ago that said, connection breeds commitment. Mm-hmm. So if you can have a group that's connected outside of the office, outside of their normal rigmarole, they're going to be more likely to go to bat, to work harder, because they're connected on a deeper level versus just, I know you do this. But we provide those opportunities for people to feel, in a fun environment, to feel connected. So when they leave, a lot of times we hear, well, I got a whole lot more out of this than I was actually expecting. Because they're thinking.
Well, and that's just right then.
I bet you hear that every
time.
That's
just right then. Yeah. A lot of times I've seen, you know, with group dynamics or any, you know, I used to take my guys out there from Gaston House years ago, and they would get, it would be maybe 3, 4, 5 days later or 2 weeks later that, you know, seeds were planted and there was that connecting moment.
Right. It's not just a one stop.
Yeah.
Fix everything. It just gives you a springboard to diving deeper and further connections.
Yeah.
And so right now it's like, it's wild, Jeremy, and you've been doing this for 20 years and, you know, even longer than that, you know, prior to corporate America. It's like, you come on to this team of Group Dynamics. It's a great group of people, great ownership and all that. And one of my dear friends, Robert, works with y'all, and it's like COVID hits. So you have to cancel. And so how what have y'all been doing as it relates to COVID? Because I see that need for connection more than ever today.
Yeah. Right.
way more than pre-COVID. Yes, that stuff was happening back in the 80s when you were up in New York and then Minnesota, San Francisco, and you saw that disconnect in big corporate America, and that's there. But now it's like more than ever, we need that connection, and here's an opportunity. What are y'all doing at Group Dynamics to make it safe? Sure. Does that make sense?
Right, absolutely. Safe is one of my trigger words. Yeah.
That's why I put,
right, yeah.
If you're watching, I put air quotes, but if you're listening, I did the air quotes.
So, you know, as we kind of, well, as the state allowed us to open back up and we kind of started looking at the CDC and regulations, so we kind of just went through our building and started putting in procedures and regulations that would apply and correspond with state and local guidelines, as well as we were scouring the internet. There was the Association for Challenge Crisis Technologies, and there was a bunch of folks out there in our similar industry having these roundtable discussions and what's best practices and how are we doing this? How can we keep our employees safe? How can we make our participants feel safe, the air quotes, just to be able to come back into an environment where they're in close proximity? So we re-engineered a bunch of our activities and games with, we call it physical distancing, not social distancing.
I like that better.
Yeah. It,
I mean, I just,
right,
I
don't want that social connection. Yes. That's why we exist. Yeah, right. And so to socially distance ourselves really just becomes awkward when we're a company that wants to bring people together.
Completely.
Yeah. All about connection.
Right.
You know,
so it's physical distancing. So separating those, just our people out. And we've really, well, one, people call and say, are you still open? How are you addressing COVID? And we've had a number of youth pastors and primarily a lot of youth pastors that have just called us and said, I just want my kids to be able to connect and feel normal.
And they need it more than ever.
So they've been isolated and just in homes, or they've now just
started to address the anxiety, the depression. Yeah. We got a 17-year-old that, you know, just, we know he went into some dark places with all this lockdown stuff.
Sure. We didn't have a 17-year-old. We have
a 17-year-old. Yeah. Yes.
We have a 17-year-old. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the communication between our clients is, this is what we're doing. Masks are required. We're coming in. We're social. We're physical distancing. Uh-huh. Yes, we'll do it sometimes. Yeah. We're physical distancing. But really, it's just a conversation on what are your goals and expectations? What are you wanting to get out of this event? And then we customize the event. Really, I mean, we've got, you know, Max got 20 years. I've spent 20 years. Caleb Collins has been with the company for 20 years. So we have this great resource of minds that will kind of re-engineer activities. And then we have a very talented group of staff that will come in and just make this so much fun. Kids and adults don't even realize the power and the influence they're having on each other, because it's just this organic smiling and laughing. Yeah. We address the awkwardness of the masks. You know, our staff are wearing masks. Hey, everybody, this is, pulled on my mask. This is my face. This is what I look like in person.
Right.
Put the mask back up. Just deal with it, you know, mask up and play. That's kind of been Max's motto for a long time. But we're starting to see kind of an uptick.
What have y'all done? Because I love that. That I can tell you at Casa Colina, one of the things that I have appreciated about COVID and stuff like that is we're big on making sure the families get connected. Mm-hmm. You know, and for prior to COVID is we would tell them, hey, get involved. You know, go to your, you know, whatever town you live in, get involved in. You know, Al-Anon or some kind of family anonymous. We back on, I think the end of March, I got a Zoom account, and Thursday night, there will be a meeting tonight. Every Thursday night, they've been doing Zooms on a weekly basis. I've set it up. And so I started to think outside the box, which is a experiential, you know, term, is like how to connect in a different way from the tools that I do have.
Right.
What have y'all done to, you know, kind of think outside the box? Those are great things, but other things.
So thinking about it, we have kind of three modes at which we can deliver our programs. You can come to our 40,000 square foot facility in Carrollton, but a lot of people, just their environment, their corporation, or whatever is not allowing people to travel. The schools can't come to us for the most part.
Yeah.
But we can take most of our activities, anything that's not physically attached to the building, we can take that to an offsite program. So tomorrow we're going to a school district to do an end service for their teachers. We're going to do a team Olympics, 160 teachers spread out all over the school in gymnasiums. We're going to take the activities with them. They're going to compete in activities.
That'll be so great for the teachers, because, you know, their morale is just like,
they've got right Zoom burnout.
Yeah. Zoom burnout. And I like that. It's like, okay, we're going to come to you, you know, so that's thinking outside the box and stuff like that.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, you need to go to my son's high school.
Yeah, we need that connection.
Right.
And so y'all are really addressing, you know, that heart deal and how that goes about.
And then we've also developed a number of programs to be able to take virtually into that Zoom. So last Saturday, a colleague and I did a 4-hour program. We did it in kind of 2-hour blocks. We did a 2-hour connections building for a youth organization. And then we did what we call our puzzle quest. So it's more of the group collaboration and brain teasers and using the internet and scouring and using, you know, decryption and things like that. So they had a fun time, but that was, so we've done in person at our facility, physical distancing. We can take that and we can do it at a location, or we can do the virtual as well.
That's good. I like that. As you're sharing, both of y'all, I'm doing a 3-hour Zoom family program with just the families.
Right.
And I'm going, I know how to do counseling on Zoom, and you know, it's different and stuff like that. But I'm going, okay, I like the experiential, you know, world. Hey, what's in my tool chest? Right. And I haven't been using, you know, any tools on the Zoom link for experiential. And so it's like, I want to use, we use a lot of tools out at CASA with experiential and kind of low elements and stuff like that with the guys, but I haven't been doing any on Zoom. And I hear you going, okay, I'm doing this on Zoom.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to learn from that. What can I get to begin to engage?
Sure. There's a number of players out there that are doing some really great work. Chad Littlefield and Will Wise with Me and We. Me and We, yeah. So they've been doing virtual before COVID, and they're really engaging. If you look them up on YouTube, and I've had a couple of conversations with Chad and just how he does his processes on Zoom. But you think about in a program, if you've got an in-person program, you need some interaction every 3 to 5 minutes, 7 minutes from, you need your participants to do something.
Yeah.
Well, then in a Zoom setting, research and people that have been doing this for a while, it's like every 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Otherwise you get the stare.
Right? Yeah, right? Totally.
And you're just nodding out. So I'm doing everything. Hey, everybody, give me a thumbs up. Just click on the screen, asking them to type something in the chat, asking them to engage almost on a very regular basis, just so that they're staying engaged and not just doing the nod off.
Yes.
And Chico's just talking about a family program where they're coming, they're all over the country.
Right.
So you have to do that. I'd love to see them, you know, go out to CASA. And there are ways, I mean, I think what you're saying is that there are ways to have this connectiveness in a physically distanced, safe environment with also taking into account people's fear, real fear of the virus. But there is a way to get the desired connectiveness right now is what he,
yeah, it's so definitely I, well, and also as you're just talking, it's like I want to go, man, I think y'all have some tools and some gifts. I'm excited about you going to the school and working with the teachers, but it's like, how can group dynamics help the teachers get that connectedness on Zoom?
Right.
You know, how can they do, you know,
some of
that teaching as well.
Jeremy referenced some of the game sets we actually have on our website, things that you published like This or That or some of those other. These are real live virtual game sets or icebreakers that you can use right now.
Yeah.
Where would they find those on our website?
I can send a link.
Yeah.
So those, we don't have them necessarily up on the website, but they're kind of in some Google Docs and things like that.
Well, and that's a great thing. As you see on the green screen, it says Group Dynamics. You're in Carrollton. We'll have some links from this episode on how to get connected. Sure. The other thing is, this is where, you know, Jeremy, both you and Mac is Shannon went to a program. We talked about it a bunch called Onsite, but she did a lot of experiential work out there. And so we're talking about, you know, schools and teachers and getting them connected. But the thing I love about the experiential work is, yes, those are great, you know, where people aren't going to go too deep. But if you're going deep and dealing with some of the stuff that Shannon, you know, unpacked, it gave that ability to unpack your wounds or traumas or whatever in a quicker, safer way.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but also it allowed me to realize that it applies just as much to me as an adult woman, whereas I could easily say, oh, my 17-year-old really needs this, mm-hmm. you know, and my, or kids, youth groups really need this, you know, kids really need this, and ignore the fact that adults need it too.
Yeah.
And so when I was at OnSite, I was the first group back in May, and they'd cut the group in a third, and, you know, they did all the things that they did, and we had to wear masks, and the lecturers and the leaders and the counselors would pull their masks down and say, this is what I look like, so yeah. that we're not, you know, they would do those things, and I felt so connected just to my world when I left there, but especially to the people there too, obviously, because you're in such a
small environment.
But I think that adults need to realize that they need this too. And so it's like the teachers, that'll be great mm-hmm. to actually tell the teachers, you can take this into your Zoom classroom and use all that, because I think they're probably so beat down. You know, everybody has Zoom fatigue, and
they start looking down and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I kind of want to move a little bit. I think this might make a connection, mm-hmm. but for people that are just listening to this podcast, they won't know that Mac's in a wheelchair and is right. paralyzed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you are, you're going, wait a minute, you climb Mount McKinley?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. We were talking before about your accident in 2012. Is that correct?
Well, it was. And, you know, it's interesting because up to 2012, I was part and parcel. I was the guy for facilitating at Group Dynamics. You know, energy begets energy, smile gets smile, connection, the joy of relationship. It really was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, at the bat of an eye, stopped, frozen in space. And so the organization did very well to make the shift and everything. But what I personally experienced was going from high touch, high play, high relationship to nothing. It was a complete shutdown, and the story's fantastic because it really shows, it showed me and showed everybody else how important connection is and how you have to be purposeful in it. So, okay.
And you can be connected being yeah. in a wheelchair and paralyzed.
Yeah, so in my paralysis, guys, call me a C4, C5 incomplete. I have functional movement from the neck up. My arms don't really work. My legs don't work. However, my brain does. And thank God my mouth does.
Right.
And so it's one of those things that you as individuals, you have to be purposeful. You do have to reset your sights and be intentional about going out and greeting the world, because the world will not come to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think people who are isolated, there's responsibilities as far as group leaders, but also each one of us. If you want to change something, then you have to change your response. It's like Chuck Canfield, you know, he wrote the those books, Chicken Soup for the...
Up for the Soul. Yeah.
But he writes in one of his books, an equation, E plus R equals O. E is the event, R is response, and O is the outcome. And as the equation goes, if you want to change the outcome in your life, so if you're not enjoying it, take a look at the response you have to the events. Mm-hmm. And so there's a personal responsibility to sit there and say, I can change that. But sometimes to change it, you need to connect with your friends. You need to get your network together and talk. So come to experiential learning. Groups come in and say, gosh, we really don't like the outcome. We're not producing. We're not, our environment's cold in the office. Well, let's talk about it. And now let's talk about the right response. So the whole experiential learning model is just a fun adventure where people eventually transition and get into a conversation of can we do things differently.
And yeah. So for the fact that you had all this experience in experiential learning, yeah. owned Group Dynamics, you have a, you know, an accident, you know, mm-hmm. on your bicycle, you know, I believe that kind of gave you the tools to be where you are today, 8 years later.
Very much so.
That's the framework that I get this incredible picture that it's mm-hmm. like, okay, yes, you know, I'm still involved. I still have a lot to offer. You know, I can't get out there and, you know, belay someone down the high ropes course or stuff like that, but you can, you know.
You know, I think the injury is a gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to get emotional. Mm-hmm. But because now, you know, it's put me to the task of doing things differently. So I find great joy in discovering that. And it brings great joy that I can now connect with others in my situation mm-hmm. and say, come on, let's get up and do. You've got to change how you think. But it's just been a valuable lesson on, you know, getting out and connecting with the world.
Yeah.
As I say, I'm a board member on an organization called Neuro Assistance Foundation. And I'm kind of the moniker spokesperson because I'm living the dream.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and say, our whole purpose is to get you back into life, mm-hmm. get back into the world, and to get back in the world, connect with people, get out, start talking and enjoying relationships, because life really starts at the relationship level.
Absolutely.
And it's so important.
Yeah. I love that. Cause I love your story and just spending time with you and just seeing, man, it with all of us that, you know, our legs, our arms, everything works is like, You're giving us a gift. You've gone through this for the last 8 years with us being isolated, and you know the anxiety is like, you know, you're modeling for that, and then that's where it comes out in this group dynamics is that you can connect, you can get out there. It's like, yes, there's going to be fears, but y'all are doing some great work and following the CDC guidelines and being protective, you know, for
and
your
I think
facility.
I think it so helps. For people that don't have the physical limitations to get out of that self-pity, that victim mentality of even with the virus, like, woe is me. I can't go to work. I can't do this. I can't be with my friends. You have to take some personal responsibility for that. And here you're a great, what a gift, because you're physically limited, but you're like, I'm making connections and I am helping people build relationships and what a gift. So takes me out of my self-pity, like, oh, well, I can't go do this or that. Well, yeah, I can go do some things, you know?
And I can find a purpose. There's so much from this one episode that,
yeah,
I mean,
so
I could I could explore so many other things. It's like, I need to find a purpose. One of my favorite books is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, you know, and he just talks about we have to have a purpose.
Yes.
You know, and so that in group dynamics, we can get that. I love the name too, because I'm all about experiential learning.
Yeah.
You know, and so
we don't have to be limited by our bodies or our experiences or our income, or we don't have to be limited by those things.
Yeah.
I mean, the name alone, group dynamics, the way it's spelt is M-I-X.
Yeah.
So it's mix.
Right.
It's mixing of the group. It's mixing of cultures,
of
people, differences, to become one kind of unified force. And then on the mix, you'll notice the X, it has this swash that goes through it. Well, that little metaphor.
You like Nike or something?
No.
It's a
swash, not a swoosh.
It's a swash. It's actually a path. So the story behind that is we take groups on their journey, and they're on this journey. You'll notice how it crosses over the bar of the X. Well, that we help them cross over their bars, their challenges, to get on the other side so they can continue their journey to find purpose, worthwhile lives together as a group.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. The whole journey.
Well, and the thing is, you know, so this podcast, Filter Optional, Shannon and I doing it, and it's about, we do a lot of stuff about Casa Kalina. We, you know, my treatment center for men. We talk about addiction. We talk about feelings. We talk about those things. What I like really a lot about this episode is like, yeah, those are people in big time struggles. You know, those are people that, you know, if we're talking about codependency or we've talked about marriage and people having those things, there's big time struggles. What I like about what y'all offer and what y'all are doing is like, okay, yeah, you might deal with some groups that have some big struggles, but you're dealing with groups that really don't, then might not have any big struggles. They're just not connecting. There's just kind of this little gap. Right now, the way the world is, we all are struggling with a little connection and needing that connection. And y'all are offering it through games, moving it from the right side of the brain to the left side of the brain.
People... But even the groups with big struggles, what we've noticed, because we do have counseling groups come in.
Yeah.
And they are, and we notice that by getting them connected so that they're relating with each other, that whole bit of sharing vulnerability and opening, that's what we help do. The therapists are there with the groups. So we're the gamesmen, we're edutainers.
Yeah.
But what they notice is that we have now taken a group of 25, 30. They may be, addictions, depression, but all of a sudden they begin to team up and recognize each other as now I've got a brother with me that I now can share the journey, and that opens their eyes. And that's one of the fundamental beginnings I see in therapy for people.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And
play.
I know.
And we all need to play a little more.
Yeah. We do need to play, and we do need to connect.
Yeah. And it's a balance, because right now everybody's like, we have to connect, but how can we do it, air quotes, safely?
Yes.
Right. So, and that's what we're balancing as we talk with our clients. Hey, these are the things that we're doing. And every client that comes, every company that comes, group, has this their different level of comfort, even within that group. And so we always talk about challenge by choice. So you bring in your own experiences to this event. You're going to play and interact with the way that you feel comfortable. So the people that don't feel comfortable aren't going to participate at the level that others do. But we always want 100% of the people included 100% of the time, whether that's them standing on the outside, just observing and kind of taking it in.
Sure.
And then they work in closer and closer, 6 feet separated, though.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, closer and closer to 6 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's that balance. It's that paradigm of don't, because of the risk, don't negate the connection. So
correct.
It's this give and take. Yeah. We have to meet it somewhere in the middle. There's risks we take every single day. We don't even think about just getting in the car to come here today. We take a risk. It's a calculated risk.
Oh, we've talked about this. Well,
and that's where, I mean, just to kind of wrap up, that's where I like you know, you're riding your bike. And the deal is when we take our eyes off the road, we truly can have a tragic accident.
Yeah.
You know, and right now, and the way the world is,
a trajectory change.
Yes. Yeah. We want to encourage people not to take it. And what y'all are offering with that group dynamics is to not take your eyes off of it. Be quote unquote safe.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but connect.
And personally responsible.
Yes.
You know, for your destiny. You know, like let's all like get back to connection.
Well, and just the one thing I was reading this morning, I was listening to Brené Brown again, daring greatly. I'm reading that book, listening to it. And she had that one line, we are hardwired for connection.
Yeah.
Hardwired.
We are hardwired. It is us. It is our DNA of every person. And so I take that to heart.
Yeah.
And so our purpose is, how can we do that for all those groups out there? How can we respond to that? Because if you're a human, you need to connect.
So real quick, before we wrap up, you know, what's the best way to contact Group Dynamics? We have the little thing on the green screen right now.
Yeah, they just go to the website. There's phone numbers on there, and they'll get you to the right person. And we've done some things for some families.
What's the website again?
GroupDynamics.com with an X.
I just wanted to make sure.
M-I-X.
GroupDynamics.com. Yeah.
All right.
And I'll put it in the show notes and everything else.
We'll have it all over the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, thank you guys for coming.
I
really enjoyed our conversation. You know, this was good. This was good.
I want to go do some group dynamics.
Let's go get connected.
Let's go play.
Yeah. Exactly.
As they say, Plato says you can learn more about someone in an hour of play than in 6 months of conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
All right.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.